Good afternoon. I'm going to present a paper on a biogeochemical chemical reactor that we develop at the National Soil Erosion Laboratory and at Purdue. My co-authors are Dr. Huang, he is present here, and Dr. Cliff Johnston. And this is a brief summary of what I'm going to present, an introduction, reactor design and reactor performance, and then some final comments about this. Well, as you saw here in this presentation, there are several kinds of reactors. They are developed for a purpose of what you want to do. So in general, they are designed to measure the interactions between microbial activities and chemical properties of the soils. But the boundary conditions that define those reactions depend on the problem that you want to address. So it's very important to construct a reactor that responds for what you are looking for, as you saw here in many presentations. So it comes from simple little vials, if you want just to test the redox potential of a soil, up to a more sophisticated kind of reactor as ones that have been present here. In our study, the objective was to build a biogeochemical reactor that was able to maintain a constant anoxic environment. That is a big problem because the CO2 can build up in the sample, and then the anoxic condition can be a kind of modified by not just the CO2, but any inlet kind of oxygen in there. To optimize EH and pH conditions, that's another problem, because if it's not stable, the EH readings are not gonna be reliable. And to trap evolved microbial CO2 that it's coming from that sample. And in our case, it was important also to develop a reactor for running at the same time a large number of samples. As you saw here, most of the reactors, they are made to measure one or two or three replicates at the same time, but not for a large number of samples. So the reactor design starts with several experimental trials. First of all, we tried to do the experiments or to develop a reactor in a glove bag system. But that didn't work out because the glove bag leaks. It's a problem. It's hard to maintain the flow constant inside the glove bag. It's difficult also to make the measurements inside the glove bag because of the glove bag by itself. And also to keep the probes inside the samples without any evaporation, because once you put the samples here, it can evaporate very easily, and it's difficult to control that evaporation rate. So problems like this made us to think about other kind of reactors. So we did several trials until you get here, where it's the reactor that I'm going to present today for you. So this is the reactor. The reactor has two valves, control valves. One that controls the gas that comes from the tank. This is an argon tank or nitrogen, whatever you want. It's an inert gas. Then you can control here the pressure. This is another valve that controls the back pressure, because the gas goes from these two systems here, I'm going to explain next. And then the back pressure regulates what is going to be the flux of this gas, the flow of this gas that goes to the other system. Here we have a CO2 trap that traps the CO2 that's inside the gas. Is another problem. If you want to measure the CO2, you have to eliminate the one that comes from the gas tank. This is a moisturizer that keeps the gas moist all the time. So we work with 100% moisture conditions, exactly to avoid evaporation inside the sample. Then we have here a distributor that distributes equally the gas to 18 flow meters. And then in the flow meters, you can regulate what amount of gas you want to deliver to the 18 samples that are here. You can even have more flow meters. In our case, 18 was enough for the kind of experiment that we are looking for. And then from this, from the reactors that are here with the samples, we catch the CO2 in a CO2 trap system that was linked to that. In more detail, this is the reactor by itself. So as you can see here, the flow meter deliver, in our case, we set at 15 cc per minute. That is more or less one cycle inside the headspace of the vial at each 10 minutes. That was what we set for this experiment. And then, as you can see, it's a centrifuge bottle. It holds a pH and an EH meter. It has an inlet valve and an outlet valve that you can close or open, whatever you want. So if you want to take it out, the sample is just to close the valves and bring it to where you want to catch the sample. In our case, we brought back to the glove bag to keep the anoxic conditions. And so the EH and pH probes are in place all the time during the treatments, so that you can measure directly here the EH and pH in the height that you wish. You can regulate the height of this EH and pH probe, because some soils can have swelling process, for example, and then it's necessary to bring up the pH and EH. You can control this here. And from the centrifuge bottle, the gas or the gas that is coming from the argon tank goes to a CO2 trap system that is that has three different vials here. Two of those are full with NOH trap solution, so that can trap the CO2, and another one is empty, exactly to avoid pressure between these three different vials. And at the end, there is a valve here, escape valve, just to let the gas to go out. Those are the variables that we controlled by the reactor, that was controlled by the reactor. The inert gas supply, O2, CO2 free gas, gas flow by the flow meter, soil solution evaporation, we kept constant, soil to water ratio, the sample vial headspace that we could control by the amount of soil and water that we add to the sample, the height of EH and pH probes, the CO2 trap system. Those are the variables that we measure from the reactor, that were the EH, the pH, the CO2 evolved, the soil solution chemistry. So just for comparison between the first trial that we did and the last, that is the reactor by itself, you can see here some advantages and disadvantages of those. The advantage of the glove bag, of course, it's low cost. It's just a bag. $100, you can buy one. Easy to install, it's not difficult. It's just to put a gas, the gas supply, and then it is. But there are several disadvantages. What are those? No gas flow control. You can't control the gas flow inside the glove bag because it leaks very easily. Easy to leak. Sample evaporation, you can't avoid that, because if you close the vial, you cannot have gas inside there, so CO2 is going to build up. No reliable EH measurement, because you can't keep the EH probe all the time in the sample, and also evaporation is going on. No CO2 trap system. I couldn't find any way to have a trap CO2 trap system together in the glove bag system. And it's difficult to handle sample inside the bag. You know about that if you have been working with glove bags. So what were the improvements that we got from this reactor? Gas flow control, what is important to keep the same condition in all treatments. Completely closed system, so no oxygen inlet or CO2 inlet. No sample evaporation, no evaporation. Reliable EH measurement, because it's in place all the time, so it's stable. CO2 trap system, easy to handle and replace the samples. So it's just to close the valves, and then you can put another sample there. Disadvantage, laboratories to be built. You need time to build it, because little parts are important. Even a small tube that you are going to put there, you need to know exactly what are the dimensions and everything else, because you are leading, you are working with gas, and so any piece is important to be under control. I'm going to talk a little bit now about the reactor performance. The reactor was tested for 6 soils that represents a range of upland soils with different organic matter contents and management system. We measure EH, pH, evolved CO2, and the composition of soil solution under reducing conditions and a function of time. Here are the soils. This is the experimental design that we did to test this reactor. We took the soil in the field, then we had 3 treatments under saturation, under reducing conditions, 1 day, 3, 7, and 14 days. This is the amount of sample used, 50 grams soil plus 75 ml of the gas water. We use argon gas as a gas supply. We measure EH and pH. And here I'm going to show some results on the chemical analysis that we did, especially for manganese, nitrogen, and ammonium and DOC. They use different methods to measure those compounds. This is the reason why I'm showing these three. And they evolved CO2. So, a little background, it has, everybody knows about this, but when the soil goes under reducing conditions, there are several sequential order of reactions. Those are the most common. You saw others here today. And as far as the EH, what we found was, as expected, the EH decreased full time for all six soils, some of them very rapidly. It's the case of uncultivated soils. They are soils, forest soils, and the cultivated were slow, but in general, the trend is the same, what is good. But the error values for EH were relatively high. What it's common because it's intrinsic variability in the EH probes and the type of measurement probably. Because what's happening here is I had 18 different probes, 18 different EH probes, and I calibrate those probes at the beginning of the experiment, and then I just sat there for the whole treatment and I took the measurements. Considering that 18 probes are different probes, and I'm getting the same kind of result, even though the error is big, but this is something that we are always dealing with. You saw some presentation here before. The pH did increase full time and remain near neutrality at the end, but the error bars are smaller than the EH values. The CO2 also increased full time, but the errors were relatively low, what is good. The redox sensitive elements like manganese, as expected, increase full time under reducing conditions and leads to decrease the error as increase the concentration, probably because of the sensitivity of the ICP. Change the NH4, increase full time, NH4 and DOC for both kind of soils, especially for the uncultivated soils, the cultivated soils less. In general, error values were low for both NH4 and DOC. So final comments. The reactor showed high performance in the reproducibility, according to our understanding. Use it for studies that needs to run a large number of samples under anoxic conditions, simultaneous. The reactor allows adaptation of new instruments, for example, temperature, if you want. And after it is built, the reactor becomes easy to operate and replace parts. Acknowledgement to the National Soil Erosion Laboratory for funding in research and all my colleagues that cooperated with me at that time. Thank you. Why? There are several hypotheses for this. First, we were working with different soils, cultivated soils and non-cultivated soils. In the uncultivated soils or forest soils, the DOC increased full time. That might be something related to the sorption of DOC from the soil. It's one possibility because you are reducing iron, you are reducing other elements that may bind DOC. In the other case, and also I did other experiments here looking at the character of the DOC, and I saw that the DOC in the uncultivated soils were more aromatic or less aromatic than the cultivated soils, though those are kind of hydrophobic DOC in the uncultivated soil, so they remain more in solution than in the cultivated soils. That might be a possibility as well. There are several explanations, and I cannot go through all of them here.
Is there one other question over there? Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to know if you find any interference when you have these EH electrolyte, pH electrolyte. You are suggesting that you could put also a temperature
temperature probe. No, I run many samples, and I always got similar results. So I don't think that the EH is interfering on the pH probe. I think they work independently, probably because of the principle of one and another. One is measuring the electron transfer, and the other one is measuring the EH plus. So I don't think that they interfere one in another.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.